High drama on Monday Night Raw. Ziggler is cashed in. His Money in the Bank contract
is on fire.
The entire place is on its feet here at the Izod Center.
Everyone on their feet except for the show off. Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto's a fighting champion. He is gutsy.
Superstars can't generate the type of emotion among our fans than these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass, and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it, and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
...80,676 people jammed into MetLife Stadium on April 7th, 2013, and they called that WrestleMania 29. What a week. What a week. Hello, everyone. My name is Corey Callahan. You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, and I'm sitting back home in Vancouver in the Smack Talk studios with this guy, the man who's already rocking the WrestleMania 29 t-shirt.
I had to wear it for the show, man.
James McDonald. Good to have you back, buddy.
Hey, it's good to have you back, man. I'm glad to see that you survived
The
whole expedition to the Big Apple in New Jersey.
It was interesting.
For quite the weekend, from everything that I've heard from you so far.
I mean, what do you say? It's WrestleMania weekend. It doesn't matter where I go. I think I just enjoy seeing the fans of wrestling come together. But when you also throw in the whole New York experience, it's really just, it's a trip for the ages. You had to be there alongside to truly understand. However, that being said, tonight's show...
Rubbing in a little bit more, why don't you?
That's not my point at all. Tonight, though, man, I got to fill you in on just what happened and just a ton of good things to
talk
about. Yes,
I'm dying to hear about your whole experience from that just absolutely amazing Monday Night Raw on the 8th there, the night after.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, what was better here, WrestleMania 29 or the Monday Night Raw
Monday Night Raw, for sure. Come on, there's not even a question.
Don't you find that a little interesting? It's an interesting dilemma.
Not really. Being there at the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania myself last year with you, it's like you kind of experienced a little bit about that, but I mean, this one just blew it out of the water.
It begs the question, do you appreciate a show maybe in a more intimate venue with a better overall
feeling with the crowd and the storylines and what's happening in front of you? Or do you enjoy the spectacle more that they do call WrestleMania 29 with the lights and the fireworks and the glitz and the glamour? It's interesting to me. I really am divided at this point as to what show was better this weekend.
How could you be divided?
I'll get into it. That's what we're doing here today.
You gotta tell me how you are, like, divided in the least.
All right. Smack Talk Radio Live is what this show's all about. To find this show, you gotta head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Join in at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you haven't already, add us on Twitter. Hit us up at SRL Radio. What did you think of WrestleMania 29, James? Did you enjoy it?
You know what? Honestly, coming away from the show, I felt a little bit underwhelmed. It just didn't really feel like a special WrestleMania. I mean, I wouldn't hearken it to be a garbage WrestleMania, kind of like WrestleMania 27, where I just, aside from the main event where The Rock, you know, screwed John Cena, I totally don't remember the rest of the card at all. But it wasn't that bad, but it just wasn't, I don't know, it didn't feel very special. Nothing really happened. I mean, yeah, it was an amazing spectacle. All the fireworks and the stage setup, which I thought looked eerily similar to the one in Miami last year. But, underwhelming would be the one word I would stamp on it.
As good as it is to talk about the build to WrestleMania, the first show after WrestleMania is always great to talk as well. It's a great, we got lots
That's
to talk about tonight.
That's what I
want
to talk about this Monday Night Raw. Wow, what a show.
Well, where do we even begin, James? I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, do we talk about the trip first? Do we talk about the news about Smack Talk Radio Live and just how good of a week it was for that? Do we talk WrestleMania? Do we talk Raw? Where do we go from here, do you think?
Why don't we talk a little bit about the trip first, and then we'll get into Monday Night Raw and break it down.
All right, okay. Well, let me
where do we begin? Where do we begin with the trip for Smack Talk Radio Live?
Of course, everyone knows I went to New York with my girlfriend. So right off the bat here, let me say that this is a trip. It's a personal holiday for Laura and I, and I have to keep that in mind first before anything. It's a holiday with her and I first before all this other stuff.
Of course.
Now, I also want to start this whole thing off with saying that for any girl to meet a guy and to come on a holiday, and a wrestling holiday at that, is, you gotta it's amazing. And what she did this weekend, putting up with all the wrestling guy stuff that goes on amongst this WWE universe, I can't say thank you enough and appreciate that. It's true, man, because...
Yeah. No, I agree. She's very good for
the
show.
The truth as well for me is I would like
and
to
I
do
appreciate
more.
It as well.
But the truth is I would like to do more with our show when we are at WrestleMania weekend. I did cut it a little short in terms of our show because I put my personal holiday first. Now, that being said, we still had a great week for the radio show. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But personally, I mean, New York, it's incredible. We dealt with this subway. We were right downtown, kind of in the Wall Street area. We dealt with the subway left, right, and center every day. We were on that subway. $30 for 7 days. It's actually an incredible deal. It's a much better system than the SkyTrain here in Vancouver. And in Vancouver, you're paying more. So,
no kidding. $30 for 7 days?
Yeah. And the subway was good. It got us everywhere. And I will say that Laura and I did pretty much every touristy thing you can think of. I mean, took the Staten Island Ferry. We visited the Statue of Liberty. We brought in a Yankees game. We watched Yankees versus Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. We went to the Empire State Building. We walked around Times Square. There's so much stuff that her and I did. And then on top of that, we had the wrestling stuff to attend to. We went to WrestleMania Access. We went to MetLife Stadium for WrestleMania 29. We went to the Hall of Fame at Madison Square Garden and Monday Night Raw at the Izod Center. And the thing about the Izod Center and MetLife Stadium are they're actually in New Jersey. And there's a bit of a traveling distance from Manhattan Island to East Rutherford. Or it's not even, I guess it is East Rutherford, New Jersey. But basically the Meadowlands area where they have MetLife Stadium, the horse track. It's like their big event here.
And they didn't have a way you could get there by the subway at all?
Well, there's multiple ways to get out there from Manhattan Island, but I found out the best way would be to take like a train, which is equivalent to like the West Coast Express. So you're training, you got to get to Penn Station, which is underneath Madison Square Garden, essentially. You got to get to Penn Station, jump on a train to go out to Secaucus Junction. Once you get to Secaucus Junction, you got to either take a shuttle bus or jump on another train that takes you to the stadium.
Wow.
You were doing this there, and then you were doing it back.
That sounds insane.
Very inconvenient as a tourist. And I want to just point this out.
Jeez.
WrestleMania 29 finishes. The night's over. The fans are coming out of that stadium. And like I mentioned before, 80,676 people were basically trying to jam onto these trains to get back to town. A miserable ending to the night in terms of, for me, John Cena won.
All right.
And then I had to get into the train afterwards and deal with all this garbage.
Well, that's a beautiful segue, man. Let's hear what you thought about WrestleMania, just being there live.
Well, here's the thing. As much as people want to talk great about Monday Night Raw, it was excellent. And yeah. It made the trip for Laura and I. We looked at each other and laughed throughout that entire night. We'll get to it. But there is something about WrestleMania that puts it over the Monday Night Raw. I think the spectacle of WrestleMania itself is... it's the reason why people come to the city in the first place. It doesn't... that takes the cake on the weekend for me. For the people that want to say Monday Night Raw was the show to go to, it was the show to go to. Yeah. For all the wrong reasons, I thought.
For all the wrong reasons? Really?
I thought the actual show of Monday Night Raw seemed very rushed. Did not seem like the original to me. And it felt like they were just throwing stuff out there to try and get them into next week. And the only reason that Raw took off the way it did and people are talking about it
is just because of the crowd.
Because of the fans. The crowd came together.
I mean, they were backed into a corner with The Rock getting injured the way that he did. I mean,
I know.
The show had to be heavily based around The Rock, I would imagine. So
I still would have done it differently. I didn't like what they threw out in front of the audience. And ultimately, I don't think the fans enjoyed what they saw either. I mean, a lot of people aren't going to say that because they are just hyped up on this crowd.
They had to do something, right?
But I'll say this. This is what I really do believe. I think the WWE got lucky on Monday with that show because you're coming out of WrestleMania, and if the crowd didn't react the way they did, I really think the official statement would have come in post-WrestleMania lull. I did not like what I saw Monday night. I really didn't. But we'll get to it.
Interesting, because yeah, I'll have my own. I have my own way of seeing it. But yeah,
I know. I can see that. Let's start kind of at the beginning, just quickly. You and I, what we thought about WrestleMania, just so people know what we think, and then we'll move on to the latest and talk about the future.
All right.
Are we getting into it? Is there anything else we should talk about before we get into it, or no?
No, that sounds pretty good.
The trip was good.
The trip was good. Yeah, you did all the touristy things.
I'll talk about the radio show after. Sure. Let's get into this.
All right, let's get into it.
Miz versus Wade Barrett. The pre-show, it kind of started, walking into MetLife Stadium, it was like daytime, and you kind of want the show to get going. You see the countdown clocks on the big screens in the stadium saying half hour. I looked, it was half hour at one
point. After you're over the initial shock of seeing the whole setup live, right?
That moment when you walk up the stage, stairs for the first time, and you're like,
wow, I know, it's unbelievable.
It is, so good. Yeah. The set was impressive with WrestleMania. It was impressive.
Did you think at all it looked kind of similar to the way it was in Miami last year?
Yes, I thought it was very similar. And if you actually... I hate to say this, but I see different sets all the time working in television. I know there's like a standard for this. And they follow a standard every year with their set. But it's still impressive. They were very creative with this one. The Brooklyn Bridge was very nice. I thought the Empire State Building in the back
lit up and everything. Yeah,
I love the Statue of Liberty on the top of the lighting grid.
I totally agree with you. It was a beautiful
and
stage
people
setup.
And
I'm not dissing.
And one thing I want to say is people complain about these pillars that are in each corner of the ring that hold up the lighting truss over top of the ring.
Right.
People complain about the view that this blocks this. Listen, you have to have that. Unless, if you're in an outdoor stadium, you have to have cover over that ring with lights.
Yeah.
You cannot. So, I think, and I'll defend them on this one, I really think they do a good job of clearing the areas that are affected by those pillars. And if you are affected by the pillar, I think they actually do a very good job of stating on the ticket beforehand that your chair,
usually,
it's a limited view.
Usually the only ones that are limited view are the people who are really up in the upper decks, isn't it?
Well, I had two sets of tickets, like I had mentioned before. We checked out our both seats, obviously, and we chose from there. I could have sold the other ones, but I wanted to have this option, and I'm glad I did, because the original tickets I had were row one in the 200 section, kind of like off to the left of the stage.
Right.
And we get to the seats right away. Pillar sitting right there.
Oh, disgusting.
right in the middle of the ring immediately. And I look at the four young guys that were sitting already in their seats beside me. I'm like, how's it going, guys? You know, I introduced myself and I said, well, that kind of sucks. And they were like, well, at least we're in the building. And that's the right attitude to have,
I guess.
It was really cool to hear them say that.
It still sucks to have a huge pillar in your...
It did. Luckily, I bucked up and I took... I kind of recognized that I may have... When I saw those words...
No, I hear you, but I mean, it would suck if you were like someone who...
Yeah.
You know, flew in from another country or something and paid all this money and all of a sudden...
If you weren't expecting it, yes. I could be...
Bloody pillar in your view, right?
But getting back to the...
You're right. They do have to have that. I do agree with what you say there.
I mentioned Miz and Barrett before. Before I actually want to talk, before Miz and Barrett, I wanted to ask you, did you happen to see any of this pre-show that they did?
On YouTube, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
And it was with Dusty Rhodes, Kofi Kingston, Dusty Scott Rhodes, Stanford. And,
yes, it was like an NFL-style like analyst, or like on panel, analyst.
What did you think about that?
It was kind of interesting. I didn't mind it. I thought it... It was interesting having Dusty Rhodes on the panel, I'll say. I mean, that guy, when he talks and he starts... You kind of...
Yeah. Kind of I didn't hear it. I saw it.
I had a lot going on. I had a lot going on, too, to be honest with you. So I was half paying attention. Exactly.
How'd that go?
It was, you know, a lot of people didn't show up, but I still had a nice little gathering. I had like 7 or 8 people show up. So
that's all you want.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to like, have like 20 people over or anything.
Well, you probably got to watch it a little more.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I would have realized if everybody that I invited showed up, I would have had no seats, right? People would be sitting on the floor.
But in terms of the pre-show, you didn't really get to hear what they said.
No, not really.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. I saw them. What they actually did was they took one of the corner suites that people like, you know, like a box, and they had like changed that into a TV studio in the corner of the stadium.
Interesting.
And they had set up lights and a table that they stood at, like a set, right? Yeah. And I thought to myself, I was like, that seems like a really good idea. And they played it on the big screens. And just trying to provide that NFL-style analysis to the big show, I thought it was a great, cheap, from a television production standpoint, way of promoting shows. And if they can start working on that, I think that's something that they should do for most of the time here, or at least for the bigger events. And from what I've read, that seems like that they were impressed as well, and they may be considering that.
Well, it seems like they're going to be going. Yeah, well,
it looked good. I thought it was cool.
I think the route they're going to be going is they're going to be doing pre-shows now at the beginning of all their big.
Well, it's free content. Pay-per-view.
Well, exactly.
From a television standpoint, like you're just. Your employees are already there working.
Like you said, from a production standpoint, it's easy to put together as well. It's cheap. So.
Yeah, everyone's already there working. And exactly. It's easy. It's guys sitting at a table, talking heads on camera, right? And if you can bring that hype.
Hey, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for that, Kofi Kingston wouldn't have gotten on WrestleMania at all, unfortunately.
Dusty Rhodes getting on the pre-show, but not his son getting on WrestleMania. That's got to hurt for all 8 of those people that were involved in that match.
Here's the other thing that I found really weird about WrestleMania. It's like... How could they have screwed up on time so bad that you had to scrap like the 8-man tag match? It just doesn't make sense to me.
It was very odd that there were no backstage segments. At no time when I was sitting in the audience
watching the television version, it was nothing but like ads and commercials and like those stupid movie trailers and stuff for like the Halle Berry movie and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I don't want to see that. I already paid $70. Do I have to?
Well, that's where they make their additional income, right? I agree. It's suckering the fans. But the fans have bought into the whole thing, so that's the way it's going to be. Like, until the fans say, we're not paying for it, but they are paying for it, so they can jam that stuff down your throat. It's kind of like to me, it's like dissing your audience that's already paid the money. But I understand why they do it. So as a fan, you just have to sit through it.
Honestly, I wouldn't have minded some backstage segments.
No, I agree.
To see some guys get on the show somehow.
I thought the timing was odd in this pay-per-view. And people in the stadium were thinking the same thing. I remember we were, you know, like in between.
America the Beautiful? Like, what was that?
Well, but I remember guys would, in between matches, myself included, you know, run into the washroom trying to get a... pissing basically before the next match, and you'd come out of the bathroom and the guy's already there in the ring. The first guy's like already entered.
Jeez.
So it was moving very quickly, but because of the lack of backstage segments. But I just thought that I could have used one or two. It's nice to see what's happening back there, but a little hint.
Get some guys that aren't on the show, like, you know, get maybe have a segment with Antonio Cesaro or something, you know. At least get him on the show somehow.
I know.
But no, instead, we got to watch, you know...
Well, it sounds like you're not very happy about
this show. A G.I. Joe commercial, or...
You must admit, though, okay. And maybe it's maybe going down.
Just a few things I found out, like in John Cena.
I was just gonna say, maybe we shouldn't go match by match here. Let's just give what we liked and didn't like. That would be the best way to do this, I think.
Sure.
Well, what did you like?
What did I like? Yeah. I like the Undertaker CM Punk match.
Like, what were you just gonna say there, that before I rudely interrupted?
Oh, sorry. I was gonna just mention about John Cena. Like, usually every year at WrestleMania, John Cena has this huge elaborate setup for his entrance, and this year it was just like. His music comes and out.
But then
runs.
You can argue that they gave elaborate entrances to other people, like, you know, maybe.
Oh, the Undertaker for sure. But every he gets
Chris Jericho's, I thought, was very good as well.
Oh yeah, Jericho.
Lights go out, they come back on, and actually, they put on a great fireworks display above the stadium, which I
got video of. They showed that on the TV version.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
helicopter.
And as just so everyone knows, as time goes on, I'm going to post these photos and videos that I took, because I took some cool moments that wrestling fans would like to see, right? I think so, anyways.
Shots
inside Monday Night Raw, inside WrestleMania. So I'll post them up slowly as we go along. But I thought the spectacle was good. I thought the money they spent was well executed. I really liked WrestleMania from their standpoint. I thought they did a good job of it. They lived up to the hype in terms of the spectacle of the event.
Okay, the spectacle. Yes, no, I will agree with you. The spectacle was great. Now, what did you think of the card, the results, the matches?
I left WrestleMania 29 mad.
Oh, I knew you would. I was sitting at home. I said to him, I looked right over at my girlfriend, who was, by the way, jumping up and down, cheering, clapping her hands.
Which I'm pretty sure at one point, Laura and I said to each other, Shannon's probably just loving this.
And you know what? I turned to Shannon and I said, I bet you Corey is pissed right now. I'll bet you he's hammered, and I bet you he's just pissed.
I was.
And immediately memories of Miami are flowing into my head, and I'm going, my God, he's got to be 10 times worse right now. So
I was, man.
Oh, my God.
However, I will defend myself. I handled it well. I didn't come out yelling like I did at 28, where I didn't yell obscenities, and I didn't.
Oh,
I handled it well. I handled it well. I was more interested in getting on that train that goes back to New Jersey. But I will say this about the crowd. At the end of WrestleMania 29, and you can judge a lot by the feeling and the vibe, I don't think the overall vibe of that WrestleMania, people came out ecstatic. I thought they were disappointed. That's the feeling I got from people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other people that are, no matter what, going to say it was a good show.
It was huge pro rock. Like, it was, like, last year in Miami, okay. It was at least split 50-50. You had, like, 50% Cena fans, 50.
That was not here
in New York. It was so pro rock. It was unbelievable.
That was my fourth WrestleMania taking it in a live experience. So, I've seen four different ones and how the crowd walks out of the building, Adam. Mm-hmm. And I thought, honestly, they walked out this time, and I did not think they were impressed. When we left WrestleMania 28, it was like people were going to party, remember?
Yeah. Oh, it was good times after The Rock just picked up his big win.
It was good times. It was get on the train and get out of here.
Yeah.
And let's go. No one stuck around. Merchandise stands were empty. Right as soon as the show was over, they had that new white John Cena champion shirt where it says the champ is here pointing down.
Oh,
It was being sold in these merchandise trucks. They had like these trailers, basically, that you can tow with a truck that were turned into merchandise stands. And they were outside the stadium, like mobile merch stands.
Wow.
And they were selling. The only shirt they would have on the wall was John Cena's. I remember this specifically. And no one was there buying it. No one. I bet you, like, when, you know, Rock wins, people are buying that shirt as soon as the show is over. You know, that first shirt that's introduced with the new champion after WrestleMania was over. No, I hardly saw anyone buying that shirt after.
Oh, God, why would anybody buy that shirt?
It was a different vibe. Now, I was personally disappointed. Obviously, you can appreciate that I like The Rock better than John Cena. But at the same time, I also appreciate what the WWE did here with John Cena. And I think it's the right move. I do. I'm looking at it from, it had to get done at some point. This was the year that they did it. They gave John Cena the high. He's at top. I like
you
that.
He deserves it. Booked the guy over the number one action movie star in the world.
I know. And that's a bold move on the WWE's part.
That's huge.
But I think that's a good move.
No, I agree with you.
But from the fan me, like, you know how I talk.
I know how you
I talk about what's good with business, and then I talk about what deep down I like as a fan, as a kid.
Totally.
And I would rather wanted to see The Rock win there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that from the start. But match wise, what was your favorite match? Like, mine was Undertaker Punk for sure. That stole the show.
Without question, I like that. I also really enjoyed Jericho Fandango, but I think that was just a good time in the night where people were, the drinks were settling, and I just noticed the crowd was into Jericho Fandango.
Yeah.
I thought they were dead for Coulter Del Rio. That match was not the greatest.
The build-up was crap, too.
Triple H, Lesnar, I enjoyed, but I think at that point, a lot of people just wanted to get to the main event.
Yeah, people were tired after that amazing Undertaker-Punk match, right?
It was not a
is
super...
That what it, is that what it felt like? People just didn't want to cheer anymore? Kind of tired
I think
a little
so.
Bit, yeah.
I think it was kind of like they wanted to get... to, let's get going, like...
You yeah, know,
like,
we want to see Rock and Cena now, yeah.
And I don't even know if that was what it was. I thought the crowd was not the greatest crowd for WrestleMania. It wasn't. And that is how I'm kind of surveying my analysis on how I feel about this WrestleMania.
Well, do you think maybe the predictability of the results had something to do with it?
Absolutely.
I mean, there was no real surprises, was
Nothing.
There? It was pretty much status quo from start to finish, right?
Well, no. They used the Ryback-Mark Henry match as their swerve moment.
That's definitely your swerve for the sake of a swerve right there. But, I mean, why would you do it with that match? I mean, that's the match that...
Well, what would you have... Like, I like that Fandango beat Jericho. The fan of me wanted to see Jericho, but Ryback Mark Henry did surprise me. Swagger.
See, that's the
Swagger
match,
Del
that's
Rio.
The match that
I didn't
I
even care.
Honestly, if you're going to throw a swerve in for the sake of a swerve, do it in the Jericho Fandango match.
Well, it's not much of a swerve because the whole match is putting this guy on the map. That's what this match is about.
But that's what everybody expects, right? So if all of a sudden Jericho pulls out the victory, that, you know. People will be surprised, even though it's Chris Jericho. I don't know.
I agree.
It depends. They had to do it. They had to do it somewhere, right?
I agree. I didn't like. The overall vibe of the show was not outstanding. That's really the best way I can describe my feelings for this show.
So very different from Miami last year, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was entertained. I always will be entertained, and I encourage anyone who has an opportunity to go to WrestleMania to go any year they can. Like.
I will definitely be going next year.
Something that you have to go to. And as a wrestling fan, it's just one of those weekends where everyone comes together and anyone who is involved in the business or wants to be around the business, it goes in terms of at that level.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, obviously, it's expensive to go.
It's a gathering of who's who.
It's the yearly convention, yeah. Really. And it's so good. I mean, there's other things going on outside WrestleMania. Even at a non-WWE level, I mean, you have these nights out with legends, you have WrestleCon, you have indie shows doing local shows in the New York area. I mean, Ring of Honor was doing a show. I walked by
Dragon Gate USA was doing a show.
So there's lots going on. The Q&A session with Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. There was...
What was this thing where it was
Roast
like...
Roast of Iron Sheik.
What was this thing with like Kevin Nash was hosting something you would like pay to hang out with these guys.
Well, no, it was the night that I did the Brian Socia
interview. Yeah, I was just about to ask you, were you with Brian Socia here? What would like...
So that was basically...
Explain a little bit more about that.
We did our interview outside Hotel Pennsylvania, or Hotel Penn, they call it, and we were just in the lobby essentially doing this interview, and I had told Brian to meet me there, mostly because it's right across the street from Madison Square Garden, which is as close as you can get after the Hall of Fame night was over. So I was just like, meet us there. But I also knew that there was this event going on. And essentially, I didn't go in it, so I can't speak for sure. But essentially what it is previous wrestlers get together. They put on this event in like a corporate ballroom at the hotel or a corporate room.
So just like a big room type
banquet
thing.
Hall.
Yeah.
And they put together this little event where people can pay $40 and mingle with stars from the past.
$40?
$40. And now... Obviously, that $40 is them showing
making,
up.
Making money, yeah.
So it's an opportunity to make money off the fans, but it's what you got to do as a wrestler afterlife of WWE. So I applaud them for putting it on. One thing I will say, and I don't like this. This was just from me sitting outside the lobby. I thought a lot of the wrestlers were leaving quite early.
Really?
It was like a quick in and out for some of these wrestlers. And they would pass by me in the hallway. Or in the lobby as I did the
really?
Interview. And I was thinking to myself...
That seems kind of shady
like, we're not
to me,
even
man.
Like an hour into the...
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't like that part.
That's
but,
pretty shady. But who am I?
But getting back to my original point of all these extracurricular festivities, very cool. Too much to talk about. All these stories will come out over time as we do our shows on and on.
And I'm jealous you got to do a show with Brian Socia from
yes.
Philadelphia.
Well, he's just a good guy. I'm telling you guys right now, Brian Socia will be a big name in the WWE world at some point, whether that's through them directly or doing stuff outside indirectly, like his own thing.
Yep.
He's very good at what he does. Very good.
Oh, he's very knowledgeable, too.
And he's just an all-around great guy. Can't thank him enough. And, of course, we had Art O'Cal and Jimmy Corderas on as well on during WrestleMania.
Another great interview. You did well.
Yeah.
You did good, man.
I sat those guys down right outside Access. I had been communicating with them, you know, before or basically in the first couple days of the trip.
Right.
And we were trying to plan something for Saturday night. I was originally trying to get Arda and Brian to sit down together with me and do a three-way night before WrestleMania preview with our predictions and everything. But it didn't work out. So anyways, I just literally ran into them at Access. And I said, let's do this. So that's how that came to be. And yeah. And then we had the Shield. I talked to the Shield. Now, let me say this.
You did as well as you could in that situation, I'll tell you.
Well, let me just tell you about the whole interview process.
Dean Ambrose seemed kind of nervous and stuck for words there.
But... Nervous? No, those guys handled it perfectly.
Well, not nervous probably isn't the word I should use.
Those guys were very good. And I'm telling you, my questioning wasn't the greatest. It wasn't my greatest interview. But when you're in that situation, they literally tell me a minute before I do it who I get to talk to. So I have to come up with something in under a minute.
Wow.
So I was just, you know, where do you go? Where do you go with that interview? I mean, I even said to the guys after, what do I ask? You know? You mean your guys are the Shield.
What'd they say?
You had a great year, you know? Well, yeah. You heard the interview. What you heard is what you got. So there was a bit before and after, obviously. But it's a good week. It's a good week all around. Let me also, while we were just quickly talking about this, our radio show, massive for us. We had over 5,000 people listen to WrestleMania weekend.
5,000?
Over 5,000 unique visitors listened to our show that we did.
I think that's our biggest number yet.
And a lot of it had to do with the people that we had on the show. You know, a lot of people like The Shield. That's always big. And I think it also is a testament as to where we've come as a radio show. I think in the last 2.5 years that you and I have done this show, we've basically done everything we possibly can for the show
within the powers given. We've moved from where we were.
And the good news here, and I had talks, and I firmly believe the WWE is liking what they hear with our show.
I would hope so.
I mean, we give the good and we give the bad, right?
Well, at least we do it honestly. Hey, it's a fan's opinion. We always say the show is by the fans for the fans. And that's, you know, it's truly what it is. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm knowledgeable enough to be like an analyst or anything. I don't know. I'm just some idiot spewing an opinion, really, at the end of the day.
I think the key here is to do it as professionally as you can.
Absolutely.
And that's what they have said to me. They can appreciate that we are doing it the right way. So they're liking what they hear. And that's good news for us. That's good news for our fans. But here's where they said that we need improvement. You know, you guys got to get numbers up. We need Twitter followers. It's weird.
I know, we get 5,000
new
listeners.
It's weird. I can't explain it.
I have Twitter followers.
And here's my explanation for it. You and I aren't tweeting a million times a day.
Do we got to
hashtagging everyone and anything is
sight. Do we got to start like a Twitter bombardment is what we got
to
do?
No, I don't want to. I don't like to annoy people. In fact, when I was on the train over to WrestleMania.
Isn't that how you get Twitter followers is you just bombard and tweet?
Essentially,
and tweet
that's the problem.
And
that's the problem with it. Hmm. I can't do it. I don't have time in my day.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to.
But what I was going to say was when I was going
this
to
this radio
Monday
show
night,
is enough for my opinions.
Yeah, I know. I would end up saying something stupid. Like, you know, it's just, I promote the show, but really I got to create a community at the same time.
Exactly.
You got to create that community. So it's a tough balance. But when I was going over to Monday Night Raw, I met a guy, Bobby, I think. It was Bobby from Nova Scotia or New Brunswick. And one thing he had, I think it was Bobby, now that I think about it. Hold on a second. Who was it that?
Oh, man.
I asked someone a question about people constantly tweeting.
Alcohol was consumed.
I know. I can't remember who it was, but the point was I asked this person, you know, do you appreciate the live tweeting or do you prefer someone who treats Twitter with respect and doesn't flood your inbox? And he said that he has purposely taken people off Twitter because they do the live tweets during Monday Night Raw. And they don't want to hear that.
That's why I don't look at Twitter.
I know,
and
they don't want to hear that.
Monday
so they were actually appreciative that we don't do that because he had added us to Twitter and that's what he had said to me.
Hmm.
Bobby, that's who said that to me. Bobby from Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. I met different people from both those parts of town, or part of Canada, I should say.
Cool.
But yeah, it was cool. We met a lot of cool people.
SRL Radio, that's the Twitter address.
Yeah, I guess we should throw... Hey.
Might as well plug it while we're talking about it, right?
We're not that good at it, see? We're not even good talking about it.
Jeez, professional, right?
Now, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. We've talked about WrestleMania 29. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think I've pretty much said what I want to say about WrestleMania 29. I thought Undertaker Punk was the greatest. Going back to what I said earlier, underwhelming would be the one word that I would stamp on it. I mean, it's not, you know, not the greatest WrestleMania, but it wasn't the worst. It was average.
Okay.
Really, at the end of the day.
Much like your analysis of it. Hey. Average at best.
Hey, 4 out of 10. I'm with Brett.
That was our poll question.
That was our poll question. Yes, we gotta go to the poll tonight.
So you give 4 out of 10?
4 out of 10, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I'll give a 7.
7 out of 10?
Yeah.
Was that just because you were there live and you got to see everything?
Still a good show. Still a good show. I haven't watched it on television yet, so I can't be like, oh, I feel ripped off for paying the amount of money I did. But when you're there live, when you take part in the weekend, it's good. It's gotta happen. It's no matter what, it doesn't matter what the show is at that point. I will say quickly before we get into Raw as well, I've realized that WrestleMania is just all about the actual hype to the show. Those guys in locally are working the entire week leading up to the WrestleMania show itself. And I swear when they get to WrestleMania, that's like the least thing on their mind. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's just like we're there now, and now we just...
These guys are doing shows on TV. They're doing constant radio interviews. They're doing constant public appearances.
Right, I mean, they're still going out there and giving like 150%. It's still WrestleMania at the end of the day, right?
I know, but I swear it's like they're exhausted by the time they get to Sunday. It's a big week for these guys.
It's a huge promotional whirlwind, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Okay, Monday Night Raw.
Yes, Monday Night Raw.
The future here.
We are now at the meat and potatoes.
Now, let me set this up properly. Typically, the night after WrestleMania, in my opinion, it can go either way. We're either starting the new year with a bang, or we're both shaking our heads, or everyone's kind of going, oh my God, this is what we're in for the next 4 months or 3 months, right? Like, there's two ways to go here. Now, I was very interested to see how Monday Night Raw went. This is how I think about it in my head, personally, okay? I know a lot of fans don't think that way, but that's, to me, what is the important aspect here. Are we starting with a bang, or are we starting with zero momentum? At the end of the day, I thought Monday Night Raw definitely started the post-WrestleMania lull in the complete right direction. I like what happened. Now, if I can take what I liked that happened and split it into two different parts... There is. I liked what the...
Two different parts, okay.
I liked the moment... I liked Monday Night Raw, and I liked the momentum that came out of it, but I didn't like the story that they put out there. Okay, there's the story that they put out there.
Okay,
and the
I'm trying to follow you.
I know.
Okay, let me ask you this.
No. Here's what it is. I liked something, and I didn't like something. I liked... The momentum that came out of the Monday Night Raw, I didn't like how it happened. And by that, I mean, I thought the story was weak, but the fans were awesome. It's the fans that have created this momentum out of the WrestleMania Raw.
So you're saying, like, the booking was weak, but the fans were...
Incredible.
The fans made... Oh, yeah, absolutely. This was a historic Raw. This will go down in history, absolutely.
I think they got lucky. I didn't like the story. I didn't like the ending. Ryback coming out to Monday Night Raw and shell-shocking John Cena. That is just... Makes no sense to me in a sense. Because first of all, Ryback just lost to Mark Henry the night before at WrestleMania. In really a clean way.
Well, you know what, Corey? What are they going to... At the end of the day, what are they going to do? I mean, The Rock got injured. I mean, maybe... That's what really screws everything up, and they're accelerating future plans. Maybe they had plans in the future to go.
Here's what I would have done. Here's what I would have done.
Okay, what would you have done?
If the plan is to do John Cena versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, and a lot of people are saying that already, I would have teased the entire setup that night after this year's WrestleMania. I would have teased it on Monday Night Raw. I would have planted the seed and just gave a little speck that this match might happen next year
but
in New Orleans.
Big hiccup for that. What if The Undertaker doesn't want to work next year?
Well, you think he would have thought about that heading into this year's WrestleMania? I'm pretty sure they know the answer to that.
I think he probably goes by a year-by-year basis now.
Okay, but you're not even officially saying the match is going to happen. Just plant the tease. Plant the seed that this match may have happened.
Why would you tease something that monumental and then have nothing come from it?
Well, the plan would be to go with it. You're thinking worst case scenario that it doesn't happen.
But again, my point is, like, has he agreed to wrestle next year's WrestleMania? Like, you don't know that.
Well, they probably had that talk, and he's under contract. So that's a question that we'll never be able to answer. But that doesn't matter the first Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. If that's the plan you would like to go with for next year's main event, plant that seed the night after this year's. And it's not even a year-long buildup because nothing official comes till much later down the road. Just give that initial hint that this could have happened, and immediately people would have been talking about it, and people would have been like, is it going to happen or isn't going to happen? And it's immediately something to look forward to your next big WrestleMania next year. And really, creatively, that would have been a good storyline to go with. That's the way I feel about Monday Night Raw. Like, I feel like it was good, but for the wrong reasons.
Good, but for the wrong reasons.
That's what I would have done with. Do you think Undertaker's Cena next year at WrestleMania? A lot of people were saying, even locally, when I was talking to people about opinions and hearing it, they were saying Undertaker's Cena. It's got to happen. You
know
what?
Who knows? I can't say that for sure it's a lock right now. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe down the road plans change. Maybe next year they want to do Brock Lesnar and Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Maybe.
You know? Who knows?
You didn't want to plant that seed? There was no seed. There's no long-term seed planted. Why can we not have a long-term seed planted?
Well, maybe they, I don't know, maybe they don't have anything in store long-term like that. Maybe this whole John Cena Undertaker thing is just hearsay and rumor that's meant to drive people like you and me crazy and have something to talk about on radio shows.
Because really, I feel like it's wide open right now. I feel like it's wide open. Everything is just completely up in the air. And they've basically bought themselves a week here. I mean, the big question, did Ryback turn heel on Monday?
Well, I think theoretically, yes. I mean, obviously with that crowd, he didn't turn heel, but I think theoretically, yes. Now, whenever he goes to any other place where there's maybe lots of children or whatever, then yeah, he's probably technically a heel now. That is a heel turn. What am I talking about?
So you think he turned heel? Because based on what he's posted on Twitter, it didn't really sound like he's heel. I can't remember exactly what he wrote, but he's not coming off as a heel post a John Cena attack.
Well, maybe he's supposed to be like this anti-hero type thing. Because even though John Cena is a babyface, he's still kind of like, I don't know, it's weird. He's so polarizing that even though he's a babyface, attacking him doesn't make you a heel. You know what I mean? It's so weird.
That's what I'm saying. It's up in the air. That's where I'm getting at. It's like, it's up in the air. Nothing's really concrete.
But anyways, let's talk a little bit more about Monday Night Raw. I don't want to.
Okay.
Let's move on.
I'm what was about it? Storyline.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think that they had to accelerate plans because of the whole injury to The Rock. I mean, The Rock was scheduled to appear at Extreme Rules, or at least, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, maybe that was just something that they put out there to make people think that The Rock had a chance of winning his match against Cena at WrestleMania. Who knows, right?
The crowd was amazing. That's really what it comes down to. Unbelievable.
And Dolph Ziggler winning the World Heavyweight title, finally cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
I understand completely.
Unbelievable moment.
I understand completely what you're saying, but to me, what's worth mentioning is the crowd. Let's just, like, that's it.
You know what? Here's my take on the crowd. Everybody in the crowd is pretty much people like you, the hardcore wrestling fan who's basically, this is a vacation for them, a year-long vacation. This Monday Night Raw is the wrap-up of their whole holiday, right? This is the very last night they're on holiday. So we're here to have as much fun as possible. I mean, that's what it felt like to me last year when we were at that Raw after WrestleMania in Miami, right? It's like, the very last thing you're going to do, you're getting on a plane the next day, you're going home, going back to work, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to have as much fun as possible. And I mean, that's totally the vibe that I got off this crowd. And yeah, when you got a crowd like that, it just... And it was a smart crowd, too. I mean, they were cheering, they were chanting everything, as obviously you knew. They were cheering the heels and booing the baby faces. And
okay, as great as everyone's talking about this Monday Night Raw with the crowd, is there something to be said about the product when the crowd is reacting the way they did?
What do you mean?
I feel the WWE lost the audience on that Monday Night Raw. And they lost it not willingly. It happened for a reason. I think the fans did not like what they were seeing on Monday Night Raw. I think just the whole lack of maybe direction we were going with. The fact, like, James, some of the decisions they made on Raw was really bad.
I don't think it was that horrible.
Why did we see Sheamus versus Randy Orton the night after they're teaming together at WrestleMania? Those two didn't have beef with each other. And now they're facing off against each other, even when they asked the fans to vote on Twitter.
That I had a problem with. Why would you ask people to vote for who you wanted to see wrestle the Big Show and then just have them face off against each other anyways? It's like, screw you, your vote doesn't matter.
But I'm sitting in the crowd thinking to myself at the time, why am I watching this match right now? Why am I watching Sheamus versus Randy Orton? I was cheering for both of them together the night before, and there's nothing to like circumvent a breakup. I mean, the Randy Orton coming out and saying to Sheamus, you're not getting Big Show, I'm getting Big Show, let's have a match. That was just poor to me.
That's poor story writing, but I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was very interesting how they totally, completely lost the crowd. But anyways, this was my whole take on the whole crowd situation. It's pretty much after Dolph Ziggler had that big moment and he won his World Heavyweight title, it was like, you know, pretty much the rest of the night, they were like, okay, we got what we paid our money for, so we're just going to have the best time possible, and we don't give a fuck what you're putting out, WWE, so... We're just going to chant whatever we want. We're going to cheer whoever we want. We don't care who you want us to cheer. We don't care who you want us to boo. We're just going to have, you know.
Yeah.
We've had the greatest moment ever now. We just saw Dolph Ziggler. We've all gone nuts. We've all basically orgasmed. So now we're just going to have the best time ever. And that's basically the way I saw it.
Yeah, I think you got some validity there for sure. I also think I really do believe it's a combination that the fans were kind of getting fed up with what was going on. Just a combination of bad things throughout the night.
I personally think that they were just there to have a good time after that, and it was just
they were. Everything. I mean,
the Fandango theme chant. That's unbelievable.
You're right, though. It did come down to just fans having fun.
It did. Oh, it was. It was.
It did.
It was such, like you were telling me like I earlier before when we were talking. It was like an amazing vibe, right? And everybody was just having. It was but like one big giant party. Essentially,
but if the storylines were good and the storylines were there, do you really think the crowd would have got off that? Do you think the crowd would have gone off course the way they did?
I think you could have put out the most amazing, dramatic storyline possible or the biggest piece of dog crap and the crowd would have reacted the same. Hmm. They would have started chanting and done just...
See, I differ on that.
No, I... Really? Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate that. I can understand that you're probably right. I disagree. I think fans are fed up. That's what I think. I think the way they're going about it these days is not the way... It's not the way the fans would do it if they had the choice. But I think you're right. I can see you being right. I get it.
That was just the way I saw it sitting at home on TV. Was like, because seriously, that was when the crowd really changed. After Dolph Ziggler won that title, that was when the crowd really changed. And then they just, going crazy.
I don't know. I can't explain it. I think there was no one.
It was it was definitely the worst during the. I will agree with you. It was definitely the worst during the Orton Sheamus match because I totally agree with you. I think a lot of people there felt the exact same way you did. It's like, why the hell are we watching this when we were just like cheering for these two guys the night before, right? So
there was a lot of boos going on in that. If up until that point, there were a lot of
they were chanting everything, ice cream guy, pretzel.
But that happened during the Orton Sheamus match.
Yeah,
like leading up to the Ziggler moment. The fans weren't, like, out ecstatic. I mean, we started the show booing John Cena right off the bat, and that set the tone for the entire night.
Yeah.
So the fans were really kind of finding their moments to boo at that point.
The vibe was probably like, yeah, we're all kind of mad and stuff.
And even before John Cena came out, you got the announcement that The Rock wasn't going to be there. So there was these moments. There were these moments to boo. Yeah, so we started the show off on a bad note.
Vibe, yeah.
And I don't think they were impressed with what they were seeing coming out of WrestleMania. This is just me as a... I think that this had something to do with it.
Well, no,
I'm not saying that this is the whole reason.
People coming into this Monday Night Raw, they already got a sour taste in their mouth from John Cena winning the title the night before in the main event, right? So already you're coming into Monday Night Raw, you know, on a bad note.
Yes.
Right?
That's what I'm trying to say.
And now all of a sudden you got this announcement, The Rock's not going to be here. Oh, that just compounds to it. Now you got John Cena coming out here. And he's doing his little segment. I like the heel turn thing. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, he comes out there. He does his little segment. That just compounds to it even more. So I can imagine at that point, the vibe's probably pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you got a match with who you think is Dolph Ziggler. But no, it's actually Big E Langston. And he's facing Daniel Bryan. Okay, you got Daniel Bryan. He's really over. Big E Langston beats him. Okay, that compounds to it even more. So it's just building and building and building.
And that's my point here is that.
And now you got the Miz versus, and then next segment, you got the Miz taking on Wade Barrett for the IC title.
This is why I have you on the show.
Right?
You're summing it up perfectly.
And it's like, oh my God, you're at this point now, it's got such a bad vibe, and you got the Miz, and he's taking on Wade Barrett. And I'm telling you, Corey, I swear to God, Wade Barrett took the title back on an audible. I swear to God, they changed the result on the fly because they saw the way that the crowd was feeling, and the crowd was getting into Wade Barrett, and I swear, because the crowd was into Wade Barrett the way they were, just because they wanted to cheer the heel, and probably because there's a lot of Europeans there, I would imagine, but I mean, just because, you know, the crowd was at the point where they wanted to cheer the heel so bad, I think they called an audible and gave the title back to Wade Barrett just to kind of maybe change the vibe a little bit. And then,
but to me, I was sitting there going, really? We're giving the title back to a guy who carried it the night before WrestleMania? Like, you had Miz win and lose it?
Like, but at that point, I'm like, okay, you just made the crowd happy now. They got their boy that just took the title back, so you at least made the crowd a little bit happy, which is important at this point, right?
Yes, but I think a lot of fans were kind of shaking their heads going, why did they do that? Why did they have Barrett win it again? Like,
yeah, you know, it's, I don't know, that kind of, you know.
That was dumb to me.
But again, it's they did it totally for the crowd, man, like I just said.
No,
like, but you know, they did it on the fly.
But there were these combination that's of my events. I think you summed it up perfectly, James. It was a combination of things that was building up. And I think when you got to the Orton Sheamus, there was this moment that people were just, they were like, okay.
We don't give a crap.
We don't care anymore.
Yeah, we just saw Dolph Ziggler win the title. We don't give a damn anymore. So we're just going to take an absolute shit on this match. And they did. Like, unbelievable, you know? Like,
but I think that is also compounded with the fact that maybe that match shouldn't even happen anyways. I just thought it was odd. Sheamus, a lot of people were scratching their heads in the stadium going, why, like, Sheamus doesn't make sense tonight.
Plus, compounded by the fact that you just asked us to vote. Like, why would you ask us to
vote?
That
as well.
Use up our data on our phones and then have it be for nothing.
People were yelling at the TitanTron in my section about that. They were like, why did we just vote? And I mean, I didn't vote. I'm not voting. Like, forget it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Wi-Fi situation in MetLife didn't work. They advertised Wi-Fi all over and cell phone signal all over MetLife Stadium. Join the WrestleMania Wi-Fi network. It's free, but didn't even work. No one could get it. I had a roaming package on my cell phone. I couldn't even connect out of the building. After the show, other people were saying they couldn't do it either. Next night at Monday Night Raw, no one could use
their
phone.
I'm sorry. That's, to me, unacceptable. You got to get on that.
If that's true, but we had no way of knowing. No one could connect. And I talked to numerous people about it. And the next night at Monday Night Raw, I couldn't get a signal either. I get a signal perfectly up until I walk into the building, come into the building, couldn't get a signal. I saw other people frustrated
as well. Yeah, I remember it being a real bastard last year in Miami, too, trying to connect to Wi-Fi and stuff.
Let me talk about the positives about this crowd, because I've kind of, you know, crapped on Monday Night Raw.
The number one positive is they made Fandango. They just overnight put this guy over.
The singing of there's a bunch of things I want to mention here. The first is the singing of that song. It was so stupid, but it made the crowd come together like everyone
and
was brothers and
great
sisters.
Great time. Yeah, everybody was dancing. Me and Rob at home, we were looking at each other. Me and my buddy Rob, who's at the party as well. We had him on the show actually last year in Miami.
Yeah.
We're looking at each other going, man, what a great time. That must be like such an amazing time. Everybody's doing, you know, fingers in the air.
And it was so dumb because...
And yeah, it was. It was absolutely stupid.
It was one of those things you would never do in front of other people. You know, it was not just the singing and the humming of Fandango's song. It was also putting your fingers in the air and doing this. Like wigging, you know, like the
okay,
dance
let me
that goes
let
with
me
it.
Ask you this. Which is better, the Yes chant or the Fandango theme? Which was...
Well, I think
which
more,
was funner?
Well... I think the Fandango chant was more stupid, and because of that, it made it more fun.
Okay.
It was really dumb. Really dumb. But it was something to see all these people come together and just not care that it was really dumb. Do I think it has lasting impression? No. However, you look at Daniel Bryan's Yes, and it was really well done, and it's lasted even till today. And I think the Yes chant will last much farther down the road as well. So... Daniel Bryan's was a more successful chant to have happen.
Oh, I totally agree with you there.
I could be wrong, and you could be wrong when we look down the road.
I think, honestly...
But I don't think
I think the Yes chant will last, and I think this Fandango theme
it's
chant...
Quick.
It's yeah, it's like a 15-minute of fame type
It's a
thing.
Quick, very quick 15
it'll,
minutes.
You know, it'll...
However, it was so stupid that it worked, and people were loving it. And
really?
No, people were just
Man,
looking at each other
crazy
laughing.
To be there.
After the show was over in the concourse area of the stadium, everyone was doing it.
Really?
We get on the bus to get, you know, to get back to the train to go back to Manhattan Island.
Jeez.
We get on this bus, and it's like a charter bus, so everyone's kind of sitting in nicer than usual bus seats.
Right.
And chants galore. People are doing the Fandango song. At one time, we even chant, bus driver, bus driver. And then I just wanted to get everyone going. So I was sitting near the front of the bus. I turn around. I look at everyone. I'm like, will you guys shut up? I'm trying to sleep. And they're like, and I was totally joking. Like, and they're like, go to sleep, go to sleep. Like, just stupid stuff. Like, the chants that were happening were amazing.
I'm pretty sure alcohol was a factor there as well.
For everyone. Because there wasn't one person that wasn't doing it. That was the other thing. It wasn't like some people weren't chanting and some people were. Everyone was chanting. The 60-year-old man behind me sitting at Monday Night Raw wearing the John Cena shirt, by the way, which I thought was very odd to see.
What, the white champion one?
No, he was wearing the blue and yellow John Cena t-shirt. But he's like 60-something years old and he's got it decked out in it. And he was really a huge John Cena fan. But the point I wanted to make was, even that guy who, really, I didn't see him getting up to do any chants, he was up there dancing, doing the Fandango thing. It caught on with everyone, and there's something to be said about when an audience comes together. It's amazing. And this is something that wouldn't even happen at a sporting event, a concert. This is something that only happens at a wrestling event.
That's just what I was about to say. Absolutely. Only in professional wrestling do you have something like that, where you can have a crowd come together and really influence the overall feel and effect of the show. Because, I mean, like, for example, you go to a hockey game, you can't, no matter how hard you cheer, it's not going to affect the outcome of your team or whatever.
Even if you started a stupid chant at a hockey game, something as stupid as the ones we were hearing at Monday Night Raw, you do it at a hockey game, people are going to look at you weird. Absolutely. And they're going to be like, this guy's an idiot, get him out of here, or whatever. On Monday, in that stadium, everyone was one. It was crazy. Huh. The most stupid chants were getting over. Like, at one point, you know the pretzel guys that sell pretzels? They walk up and down the rows going, pretzels here.
Yeah.
Well, guy walks down to the bottom. Everyone starts, we want pretzels. We want pretzels. The guy, like, throws up his arms. He's like, it's like his big moment in his life. Everyone's chanting for me. You know what I mean? There was X-Pac sitting up in a box. Someone had spotted X-Pac.
No way, Sean Waltman?
Yeah. Really? So everyone started at We Want X-Pac. I mean, just everything was happening here. It was crazy. We want ice cream. The point is it was amazing, man. It was something to see. And no, it was very cool.
I can imagine.
And for me, I don't know how it happened other than the WWE lost control and the fans took over. That's really the best way you can describe that to me, in my opinion.
I think it was just people were like I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, it's your last day. You're there to have the absolute best time possible. It's like the last day of like a 3-day long party type
but
thing.
But there's also another point that another way of saying it, but with the WrestleMania weekend and the diehard fans going to Monday Night Raw, is there not something to be said about the WWE having to deliver to these hardcore fans? Do you think they delivered to these guys? This is their most loyal audience. So you wrap up WrestleMania, you're coming into the show that's going to take you off into the sunset for the next year here. This is your most hardcore audience sitting in your arena. Do you think the WWE delivered what they should to their most hardcore audience?
That's an interesting question. Like, what do you mean by delivered? Do you mean by, like, storyline-wise,
booking-wise? Yeah, storyline-wise, booking-wise.
Maybe not with WrestleMania. With Raw, other than the Dolph Ziggler title win.
That's really what it was about, wasn't it?
I mean, exactly. That was the big moment, really. Yeah. That whole Dolph Ziggler title win was, like, the moment of the WrestleMania weekend.
Where do you think they go with that from there? From here, I should say.
Well, I really hope that they give Dolph a better run with the title than they did Rey Mysterio.
Will this be as impactful because it's the World Heavyweight Championship?
Honestly, I think Dolph winning in the fashion that he did, having it be the moment that it was, because we have been wanting it so long and we've been talking about it so much and we've just been asking ourselves, when is he going to cash this title in? And they've teased it so many times and they've... You know, and they haven't given it to us. And then finally they have this huge moment in front of this crowd like this. I think that really adds to the credibility and the prestige of the World Heavyweight title now. It kind of elevates it a little bit in my eyes. So I hope that they really kind of run with that and they give Dolph a good long, lengthy run of at least, 6-7 months or something. You know, a good lengthy run to keep that elevated prestige that they've just given to the belt. You know what I mean? To kind of see where I'm going.
Does he stay? Does he remain heel, or does he turn face? Out of
Oh, he remains heel, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Well, the fans let him.
Well, like again, it's just this crowd. You're not going to get this kind of crowd at every Monday Night Raw. This crowd this Monday was an anomaly. Again, because like I just said, you know.
I know, but think about the build-up that we've, not just New Jersey has waited for. All of the United States, all of Canada, all of the WWE universe has waited for. Dolph finally winning this Money in the Bank briefcase. Is now that it's finally happened, is it going to be a natural turn that the fans are just going to cheer this guy when he walks out?
Who knows, Corey? Maybe this guy could be the next Stone Cold Steve Austin. He could be that, you know, super popular anti-hero, you know, that made Stone Cold really popular. Who knows, right? Yeah. I think he's good enough. Yeah. I think he's good enough to become the next face of the company.
He's got Big E and AJ with him, and it looks like they're going to remain with him. There's no point.
For the time being, yeah.
I think they should keep them all together for the time being. To me, it makes sense that you have this trio working up to build together. It would be foolish to just break it off this quickly. I think you let them run together as champion, as a trio, if you know what I mean, for the next little while.
Anyways. For a little while, yeah.
And then reassess. I'm not saying we need to even break them up at this point, but just reassess after a little while. But I think keep them together for now. I love what they've done here. I thought they did an amazing job on Raw. Just the whole tease that Del Rio might beat Ziggler.
Yes, the whole, oh my God, the whole setup and the match between Dolph and Del Rio. I'm telling you, man, that was performance art at its finest, in my opinion.
And full credit to Del Rio and Ziggler.
Just absolutely. The drama, everybody was on the edge of their seats. Me and my buddy Rob at home were on the edge of our seats. When Dolph finally hit that zigzag and got the 1-2-3, as you heard in our clip to lead off the show, me and my buddy, we were standing up, cheering. Like, okay, I'm sorry. When you're cheering at home, that's a huge moment.
Yeah. No, it was good. Beautiful job.
Absolutely. And I know both Del Rio and Ziggler.
And yes. I know the locker room is just like so happy for Ziggler. It's like a big moment for the locker room that this is finally happening.
He deserves it. I mean, he's been working.
Should have happened years ago.
He's been working his ass off for years now.
This is the culmination of what happens when you think long term. Is that Ziggler? This has been needing to happen for so long that it's finally happened. So it really does mean something. One thing I'm looking at here is that it's bringing immediate credibility that the World Heavyweight Championship possibly didn't have up until Monday.
That's what I was just saying. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's got a heightened level of prestige now because of that moment, because it was such a big moment. Now the belt seems that much more important.
So good job.
Absolutely.
Good job on that, for sure. Now, where do you see Fandango going from here?
Well, like I said, this crowd pretty much instantly put this guy over on Monday night. So who knows? Maybe they run with this and kind of give him more of an elevated level on the card. Who knows?
Did you like what you saw from Fandango throughout the entire weekend?
I think Johnny Curtis does a very good job of playing this character. I think he's very serious about it. As comical as this kind of character is, he takes it very seriously. And I think just the mannerisms, the facials that he does, everything that he does a very good job of putting this character together. And the WWE is obviously behind it. So, and now the fans seem to have taken to it. So maybe, you know, who knows, he possibly could be a main eventer at some point. Maybe not with this incarnation of the character, but.
And we'll see Jericho fade off for a little while, I would assume.
I think he's going off to tour with his band Fozzy now. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I am too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He came, he did his job, he put Fandango over.
What about Undertaker from here? Had that big interaction with the Shield.
I was just actually about to ask you about that. Were you surprised to see Undertaker on the Raw after WrestleMania like that?
No. You have him in town, you may as well use him.
But, I mean, usually after WrestleMania, he kind of like fades away for a while, doesn't he?
I can't remember. Did he show up last year?
No, he didn't. On the Raw afterwards? No.
Yeah, I think if he's there and he's willing to do it, you use him. Again, I thought they misused him on Monday. But it's interesting. I think you're setting up here for a 3-on-3 at Extreme Rules.
Well, here's the next thing I was going to say. Undertaker looks like he's in fantastic shape. I mean,
there's a possibility. Yeah, there's a possibility here that he is going to wrestle at Extreme Rules. You got to have someone going into Extreme Rules. You might need The Undertaker for that.
Well, I think now that The Rock is injured, you don't have him maybe going into it. Now you add the name of The Undertaker, right?
So maybe Undertaker stepped up to the bat here and said to Vince or whoever he needs to say it to that if you need me, I'll I'll go in.
Do you see that as kind of like a elevation for maybe Daniel Bryan wrestling alongside Kane and Undertaker like that?
Absolutely.
That is pretty big.
I think that's pretty cool.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude that I've seen wrestle live here in Vancouver, now he's with Undertaker and Kane. That's pretty cool.
I'm a little surprised, actually, that they're having Undertaker go against the Shield. That's an interesting...
I think that's kind of cool, and I think that's really good for the Shield. That's a huge elevation for those guys.
I'll tell you something quickly about this whole Shield Undertaker segment on Monday. Was so Laura and I were sitting basically on the aisleway right where...
Oh, yeah, I think I saw you on TV.
Right where Roman Reigns comes down. Laura actually touches Roman Reigns.
Really?
As he walks by her. I have it on my phone.
I didn't see that, but I saw you. Yeah. I saw you standing up with your phone briefly.
Well, I videotaped because I wanted to videotape Laura because I knew this was all coming. I knew that Roman Reigns was coming because what happened was is I went to go to the washroom... And everyone in the section was going to the washroom. They kept coming back saying, there's a bunch of police and security up at the top of the stairs. But they weren't, like, in the stadium. They were behind the black curtain that they hang.
Oh, really?
So I walk up there, and I immediately know what's happening. I know the Shield's getting ready. Because I had, as soon as I assessed out our seats, I realized this is where the Shield comes out. So I go up there. I say to the police officer as I'm walking to the washroom, I'm like, do I have time to hit the washroom and come back? Or am I going to miss anything? And he's like, well, what are you going to miss? And then I'm like, I think I have a pretty good idea. And then he's like, yeah. He's like, it happens next segment. You got time. Don't worry.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, okay. So I go back to the section.
You have the inside information. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I go back to the section. And I say to everyone, because our section, I made friends with everyone. And,
yeah.
You know, we had a good time together. I said to our section, I'm like, Shield, next segment, they're coming down. And so when the Undertaker came out, everyone was looking at me and saying, oh, Shield's coming out, the Shield's coming out. They're like, not when the Undertaker's out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, that's what the guy told me. I'm like, I'm pretty sure, right? Boom, Shield music hits, they come out. I look at everyone, I'm like, yes, I'm an instant credible news source. Everyone was laughing so hard. It was good. It was a good time. But
credibility goes up a couple levels, and that's awesome.
A little bit of investigative reporting as to when it happens, and bam, found out when the Shield came. So I knew the Shield was coming with the Undertaker.
Good journalism, buddy. Yeah, that's great.
So, I don't know. It's a bit of a funny, funny story. Look at everyone, big instant credibility as a news source. But I like this idea. I do. I think Shield, I think they really like what they have with the Shield. These three guys are going to deliver, I think. They're going to be big names. There's no question about it.
I think a lot of that has to do with Triple H as well. Do you kind of notice the changes that are slowly taking place now that Triple H is kind of taking over more of the power structure? They're really focusing a lot more on the developmental of young guys and bringing guys up. And
well, you have to.
Making these guys strong instead of bringing these guys up and then just squashing them against
it's interesting
the established
because
names already.
You're almost at this point now where it's you begin to question, do you still need your HBKs and your Triple Hs on your WrestleMania lineups? Or can you give those spots to guys like The Shield and other guys.
Exactly.
Like
they need to think in the next 3-4 years here, you're going to see a cycling, I think.
They're at a very big transition stage.
Guys moving up and certain guys moving a little bit out and a little bit more.
I think anyone involved with NXT right now has got to like what they see for the road ahead. There are going to be big opportunities here in the next little bit. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
No, I absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
My point was, I just like how they're actually doing that now instead of, bringing up new guys and then squashing them immediately and not getting them over, right? They're bringing them up, keeping them strong, having a little bit of faith behind these guys. And who knows? You might actually make some names, right?
What do you think? I'm going to summarize and wrap this up. With the whole viewing of Monday Night Raw, how do you see the next few months looking? Are you excited? Are you a little deflated? Are you really unsure at this point? How are you liking the road ahead as we enter the next 3 months after WrestleMania 29?
Well, I'm excited for a few things. I'm excited for the future of Dolph Ziggler and his title here. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with him moving forward. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Ryback moving forward, if they're going to go with him being the kind of heel type character because he attacked John Cena, or if they're going to keep it kind of maybe a babyface versus babyface type program. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of dynamic they use there.
They left that door wide open.
What I didn't like was how they teased Mark Henry being in the world, being in the WWE title picture like that, and And then they kind of didn't let it happen, but...
Yeah, so why? What do you think they're going to do with Mark Henry?
I don't know. Maybe do they insert him into this program with Ryback and John Cena and make it like a triple threat, or...
Or he could come out on Monday and have a completely different exchange with someone else and just goes in a completely blind new direction.
Exactly.
I have a feeling that could happen here, but I don't know for sure.
Things that don't look too exciting for me is this whole Big Show, Randy Orton, Sheamus dichotomy that they got going on. I've got zero interest in it now.
Monday killed that for me.
I'm like, where do they go now with Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter? Do they keep Zeb Coulter around now? Mm-hmm. This whole feud with Alberto Del Rio has pretty much run its course, or at least I would think it's run its course.
Here's a more bigger philosophical question. Are you okay with the idea that nothing is really standing out as the major prominent focus leading forward? I guess it is John Cena.
It'd have to be John Cena in his title. I think you're really going to see John Cena and Dolph Ziggler kind of be the primary focus moving forward. Maybe a little bit with Ryback. It's going to be interesting.
I think it's John Cena, Ryback moving forward. That's
you think it's John Cena, Ryback?
That's the vibe I'm getting.
That's kind of what they hinted at.
And they're going to use the next few weeks, of course, to start putting the pieces together with the puzzle of the rest of the show. I think mm-hmm. It's a little... There's no clear direction, as I said before on the show. But at that point, I'm fine with that. I'm actually very excited for the next little bit. The momentum coming off this Raw was great. I mean, I've kind of taken a huge detour to get to this point. But I like the direction they have here. I think that the momentum is great, and it's going to propel the next 3 months. And I don't think we'll be using that term post-WrestleMania lull very much at this point.
Well, at this point, I would have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm excited to watch next week's Raw. So
absolutely.
If you're excited to watch next week's Raw, that's
They've done really, their job.
That exact... You just hit it on the head, buddy. They've done their job.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we should wrap it up on that note. What do you think?
Well, we never did talk about Triple H versus Brock Lesnar.
Didn't we?
No. Well, did we or didn't we?
Maybe just because it was like... I mean, honestly, man, like to me, I was not... I don't know. I wasn't excited about that because... It was just way too predictable. I knew Triple H was going to win. I knew there was absolutely no way that he was going to lose. I mean,
really?
And the match itself was just, there was no color, number one.
What was a better match?
To see a little bit of blood, maybe.
What was a better match, Triple H, Lesnar, or Rock Cena?
A better match? I'd have to say Rock Cena, but not by very much, though.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I disagree. I thought the Brock Triple H match was better than the Rock Cena. I thought the Rock Cena was. I think they.
I don't know. I felt wanting more after the Brock Lesnar Triple H match.
I felt that the Rock and Cena had to call an audible because Rock got hurt. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
That's the way I feel. I feel that they started going to the signature moves and reversal after reversal and after reversal because they had to, because I think maybe The Rock couldn't do what they wanted to do.
Really? Yeah, you know what? You might be right about that, because that finish did seem kind of odd to me. It was just like, you reverse the attitude adjustment this many times. You just all of a sudden can't reverse it that time, and then boom, he gets the win.
And that's what I'm saying.
It kind of came out of nowhere.
And I didn't think the match itself was that great. I thought Triple H, Lesnar delivered for the match it was. I thought they did a decent job.
All right. Well, it's your
one man who did deliver. This guy.
Diddy. I didn't even notice that was
coming
on. Diddy.
Best part of WrestleMania 29.
Really? You liked it, eh?
Actually, the fans loved Diddy. And I was surprised, because a lot of times they'll come out and boo the artist. Not Timmy. Like
Machine Gun Kelly, anyone?
Exactly. Right? But I think that P. Diddy came out at the right time, and he kept it short. And
yes,
it worked.
That was the important part. Is he kept it short.
It worked, and he sang this song, and the crowd loved this song.
Oh, this is a great song.
Well, and how often are you saying that about P. Diddy?
Exactly.
All right, my friend. Well, I think we covered most of the bases.
What an amazing weekend, man. It sounds like you had a time, one of the time in your life, man.
You know what? Like, even some of the opinions I talked about off the top of my head here tonight, I'm not even sure I'm convinced of my own opinions. That I've got a lot to digest still. I'm trying to figure out my own feelings still.
Right.
So, in the next little while, I'm sure it'll all smooth itself out. I probably sounded like a rambling idiot tonight, but...
Oh, no worse than me, my friend.
Yeah. That's just, I'm still a little unsure of how I feel about it. I'm excited, but the next few shows are important.
I'm definitely excited for the show moving forward, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here. This show, I don't know if you want to listen again after the amount we rambled tonight. You find it, though, if you are interested, at www.smacktalkradiolive.com. And you can also like our page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And the big one, Twitter. It's the thing everyone's talking about these days. At SRL Radio.
What was that address?
At SRL Radio. Feel free to add us. And we have an email address as well, don't we, James?
On air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Tell us what you thought. We want to hear from you. Did you think Raw was as amazing as we did? All you got to do, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com, and there might be some cool swag heading your way.
Should be. I gave away tickets to Hall of Fame and Access.
Unbelievable.
To just local fans.
Just gave them away.
They were your tickets. The ones that were supposed to be given to you.
We won't go away there. Moving on.
Well, what else was I going to do? Close enough. Well, you sent us an email. You could have been going if you were in the area. So we gained a lot of cool fans from WrestleMania weekend. It'll be interesting to hear their opinions. And if you do have your opinion and you want to get it out there, send it, like James said, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. And we'll definitely read it on the air. I actually had a very cool email tonight, or not tonight, sent to us earlier this week from a friend of mine, Ryan.
What?
Yeah.
We should have read it.
I don't even have it pulled up right now. Isn't that, that is so pathetic on my part.
Going back to that professionalism word.
Unbelievable. Ryan, I will read it,
We will read it next week's show, yes, my friend.
I forgot to bring it up. Terrible friend. Ah, well. All right, let's get out of here. We'll be back next week. It's good to be home. Our show's going to get back to normal here soon.
I would hope so.
Absolutely. Post-to-post report is coming back soon enough. Just so much to talk about. My name is Corey Callahan.
And I'm James McDonald.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.